Hello, and welcome to episode 14, the Nintendo episode. 14/13 of the Hello Show, with me, David Kendall.
And me, Dave Lawrence, who's not superstitious. Not name any names.
And this episode is going to be all about Nintendo.
Yay.
The games company Well, Dave, why don't we start off with, you know, like a brief kind of a potted history of Nintendo.
Right. Well, I know they started out as a game or a card game company.
Yeah, they started out in like 1890.
Yeah.
Insane.
Way back in the day. And then I know they tried a bunch of other stuff before they settled on video games.
Yeah. Their first games were their first video games were arcade games. Back in the 70s, mainly because the games console hadn't really been invented yet.
Right.
There was the Atari 2600. But that was about it as far as consoles went.
And then you had Pong and the kind of like the one trick pony systems that just came with one game.
Yeah.
And you hook it up to your TV and that was all you could play.
Mm. Yeah. So one of their games was called Donkey Kong.
Yes.
One of these arcade games. And I was reading the Wikipedia article on it, and it sounds like it was really a last-ditch attempt to save the
mm-hmm.
company. They were like on the brink of bankruptcy at the time that this game was being developed.
And it worked,
but it was a huge, it worked. Yeah, it saved the company and also introduced Mario and Luigi,
and Donkey Kong. He's pretty popular too.
Donkey Kong.
It's really it was released when I was born, I saw, in 1981. But it's really one of the few arcade games that I remember from when I was a kid that I just loved. I just loved Donkey Kong. And in fact, I had one of those little tabletop arcade games that you could take home with you and play Donkey Kong with. I had one of those when I was a kid, and so that was kind of my first video game system. But yeah, me and Donkey Kong go way back.
Right. So then in 1983, the video game industry just worldwide suffered a huge crash. And it was a new industry. I mean, it was the first big crash it had ever had. So people had just basically lost faith in the whole industry. And then Nintendo in, what would you say, Dave? 85? No, was it?
It was right around that time.
The NES.
Yeah, in Japan,
the NES.
They came out with a Famicom before it was released in the U.S., and it was right around that time that they came out with it.
Yeah. So it put people's confidence back in the game industry when this thing came out. They brought it to America, where the original Mario Brothers game came out. Not Super Mario Brothers, just Mario Brothers, which was then followed by Super Mario Brothers.
And that, that was it. That sprung the video game world out of its slumber, out of the depression, and the Nintendo Entertainment System was, it was kind of the new standard. It was it as far as gaming system goes.
Mm.
You know, as a kid, did you have one of these when you were a kid, David?
No. Well, the NES was really before I. Well, it was released before I was born.
Good God!
But,
you know how old that makes me feel.
I'm making you feel ancient now. But I don't have a specific recollection of it.
Hmm.
My memories are more of the SNES. But I'm pretty sure I did play on the NES at some point or another.
The NES. NES. Listen, I have fond memories of this system. I remember the apartment place that we lived at, a buddy of mine had it across the street from me, and he had Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers, and I would go over there just about every day if I could to play those two games. And, you know, this was in 87, 88, something like that, but in 89, for my ninth birthday... Mm. Like, I had a spot in my room reserved for when I was going to get the Nintendo. I had a little tabletop all set up. I had, like, a cushion on the floor that I would sit in. It was just waiting for this system. And finally, I got one. And that, you know, that changed my life. I mean, having the Nintendo. And then, and this was just a few years before the Super Nintendo came out. So I didn't have it for very long. But I know I played the heck out of it. Between Super Mario and Super Mario 3... My Nintendo got a lot of use.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mario 3 was, without question, one of the best games ever.
All time.
If not the best.
And one of the top-selling, too. I remember seeing it on... It's right up there with one of the top-selling games of all time.
Yeah.
So, but then, after that, was the Super Nintendo.
Well, yeah. So...
Or Game Boy.
Sega came out with...
Sorry? Go ahead.
No, we're still... I don't know. You've confused... Well, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just thinking of the chronological order of the Nintendo systems, and it seems like the Game Boy came out somewhere in between the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo.
Well, let's have a look.
Yes, I'm right. 1989, they released the Game Boy... and Super Nintendo was right after that.
Right. So Sega came out with their console. I forget which was the 16-bit Sega.
Genesis.
I'm too hot on the Sega. The Genesis, yes. That's the one. So they came out with this, and it was, unlike the Nintendo, which was a 8-bit console, the Sega was 16-bit. So technically, that just blew the Nintendo away. I mean, the games on the Nintendo were still great, but the
graphics and the sound.
In terms of realism and... Yeah. So, Nintendo immediately got to work on this and put together their 16-bit console, the Super Nintendo, which is mainly what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the Super Nintendo the Christmas it came out. It came out with Super Mario World, which was great. And that's, I mean, if you got a Super Nintendo and you got Super Mario World, you didn't leave the house for a month.
It came with that.
Yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, you didn't leave the house for a month. Yeah. It was great. So you've got this war now between Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis. They're both 16-bit, but technically the Super Nintendo is a little bit more advanced as far as graphic goes than the Genesis. But the Genesis has, from what I understand, it had better sound or something like that. It had a more robust sound system. So you've got like Mario versus Sonic, which was Sega's big mascot, and you've got all these commercials that were blasting each other, and it seems like attitude wise the Genesis was going to overtake Nintendo because they just seemed to have the cooler attitude and all the hip kids had Genesises and stuff like that, and I remember for me I got a Genesis just so I could play Mortal Kombat with blood in it. And because Nintendo...
Oh, that was a huge...
Oh, man.
Yeah, Nintendo censorship.
Right. They censored Mortal Kombat, the first one. They said it was sweat instead of blood. So I bought a Genesis in protest and bought Mortal Kombat 2. But actually, I got so sick of the Genesis selection of games and graphics and things like that that I sold my Genesis and bought Donkey Kong Country and Mortal Kombat 2 for the Super Nintendo with the money I made from my Genesis. Because with Mortal Kombat 2, Nintendo said, we're not going to censor the game, we'll just put a warning on the box. So I actually went out, you know, I was like 12 or 13 at the time. I went out with my grandpa and actually bought Mortal Kombat 2 for myself. And then they sold it to me. So, you know, even though it was the most violent game in history, here's 12-year-old Dave buying up Mortal Kombat 2.
Right.
But the Super Nintendo ended up selling more units than the Genesis. It actually sold almost double what the Genesis did. So it actually ended up winning.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the Nintendo almost had a CD logo.
Yeah.
For its games.
In Japan, I think they did have
the deal, and this is where it kind of ties into the next stage. The deal with Sony fell through. Sony then got to work on the PlayStation, which would use this CD-based game loader.
Right.
And that heralded the 32-bit era.
And Sega kind of had an unofficial entry with, like, Sega CD and Sega 32X, but those systems were so terrible that they never sold well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, and that was, now, this is where Nintendo kind of starts to fall over themselves. The next console they released in their 32-bit era console was the Nintendo 64, which I think it did actually have a 64-bit processor. It was the first one. 64-bit. Yeah. So it was way in technically the processor was way ahead of its time. Unfortunately, it was hampered by some other restrictions. Namely, Nintendo insisted on, so that their games would load quickly, they insisted on using the same, well, this, it wasn't the same ROM cartridges, but it was this insisted on continuing using ROM cartridges to load the games from.
Right, so you couldn't fit as much data on there. And,
yeah.
So
whereas you could fit, you know, theoretically up to 600 megabytes of a PlayStation game on a disc, you could only fit, I think, maybe 4 or 8 megabytes onto one of these plastic cartridges. So the games were, you know, it had the potential to be mind-blowing, but it just couldn't be because they couldn't fit the detail onto the cartridge.
Right. And Nintendo's rationale was, you know, with cartridges, you don't have the load time, and you're not going to sit there waiting for your game to load like you did on the PlayStation and the Dreamcast and things like that. But you know, I had the original PlayStation, and that was
yeah, me too. The only time I've owned a non-Nintendo console, to my knowledge.
Right, me too, and except for the Genesis, and
And
I never minded. I never minded that wait time because the games were so great for the PlayStation that you never minded the wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Nintendo learned their lesson.
The Nintendo 64 just didn't do that well, really. So they tried. They had a second entry into this 32-bit era with the GameCube.
With little spinning discs. And little spinning discs.
Yeah.
They were physically smaller than a standard CD or DVD.
Yeah, they were about half the diameter of, no, I guess not half the diameter, but close to half the diameter of an ordinary CD-ROM.
Right. And even the system itself, it was an actual cube. It was smaller, more compact. Yeah. Except the
now why did why I forget why that didn't. I forget why the GameCube didn't take off.
Well, I think during this time you had things like the PlayStation 2 and the first Xbox coming out. And PlayStation had such a lead going into this next generation of game consoles with the original PlayStation that... I think the GameCube was a little late. They were a little late to the game after the PlayStation 2, and so Sony really used their lead to their advantage. You know, when the PlayStation 2 came out, I mean, it was the system to have.
Hmm.
Excuse you. But yeah, so they come out with this other, and this one, you know, it was like the N64. You could hook up four controllers to it, and it was a very social gaming platform, just like the N64. But it never quite got off the ground. So, but the next one, man, boy, the next one in the line.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute or two, because first I think we have to cover Nintendo's first success that paved the way for, you know, what was to come. The Nintendo DS.
Right.
Which was this, you know, they still make it today, two screens, you know, like a miniature laptop.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, because Nintendo, I mean, they had the Game Boy in 89, and they rode that horse for years. They came out with the one that had all the colors, and but the original...
Yeah, I never had a Game Boy.
Yeah, the original Game Boy was, it seemed like it lasted forever. And then they made the thing where you could play Game Boy games on your Super Nintendo. They had the little add-on cartridge slot thing where you could plug a Game Boy game into your Super Nintendo and play it in color, you know, on your... Because the original Game Boy was black and white. And then there was, like, the Game Boy Advanced, which was just a full-color Game Boy, pretty much. And then that was it. I mean, all through the 90s, there was just not a whole lot going on with the portables with Nintendo. Not until the DS.
Yeah. So the original DS came in... Was it just silver you could get it in?
Yeah. Silver or
white?
White
colors. Sorry, my internet's being quite very slow. So if you could look up things, I'm usually doing that. But so look at... crap, have I just lost...
Yes, it was silver.
So it was, yeah. So the original DS came in silver. Then a couple of years later, they came out with a DS Lite, which was the first... Well, it's actually my sister's, but yeah, we both play on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one that we had. And then we traded that in for a DSi when that came out. So the Nintendo DS was Nintendo's really big success after the what you call it, Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it would be exaggeration to say that there wouldn't be a Nintendo anymore if it wasn't for the DS. I mean,
well, according to Wikipedia, it was the second best-selling video game system of all time, behind the PlayStation 2.
The DS.
Yeah, the DS. That's crazy.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, they hit it out of the park.
That really gave Nintendo the money and confidence to develop what we have today, the Wii.
Yay. Yeah, the Wii, and I remember the lead up to the Wii, because everybody was talking about this new innovative system that Nintendo was going to release, and it had the nifty new controller, and it was a more social gaming platform, and like all the buzz around this new thing. And then they called it the Wii, and everybody was like, ugh, the Wii? It was like when the iPad came out, you know? It's like, really? You couldn't think of a better name? but you know, I mean, the name kind of grows on you, and now nobody really ever talks about that anymore. But but it's gone gangbusters. I mean, just like the DS, it is. You know, people are crazy about the Wii.
Yeah. You know, apparently the reason for that was that in the past they'd had to change the name in different countries, so they wanted to use the same name in every single country and have a unified brand.
That's smart. Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember where... I think that was... I don't know... I just trying to sell us that. No, I can't find anywhere that says that.
You just made it up. I'm comfortable with that. Yeah, that probably sounds like it makes sense. Yeah. It's plausible. Okay. But yeah, man, when the Wii came out, what was that? Like 2006, 2007, something
2007,
like that?
2007, I think.
Yeah, you just...
late 2006, early 2007.
You just could not find one. I don't know. You could not find a Wii, and people were, you know, breaking each other's noses in the store.
Yeah, it carried on for years. Yeah. It would, like 2 years before, you know, it became easy to get one.
Right. My Wii experience was I was looking for months, from like Christmas to April. I was on a Wii mission, and every time I'd go to the store, I'd always ask if they had any, and I was always checking the stores and things like that. And one day I went into Best Buy. This was in May 2008. I just walked into a Best Buy, which is, you know, the big electronics store here in America, and I was going in to buy a CD or something. I mean, totally something, you know, that I just do every day. And they had this table set up in the front of the store with these boxes of Wiis sitting on the table. And I've seen this kind of thing before. I thought, you know, they just put these empty boxes out there just to get your drool going. And, you know, there's no Wii in there. Yeah. It's just for display purposes. And so I asked the lady, I'm like, hey, you know, do you happen to have any Wiis in today? She's like, well, yeah, they're all over there on the table. And I crapped myself. I went right over and grabbed one. I grabbed one of those. I grabbed a remote control recharger, and I grabbed Mario Kart, and I got the heck out of that store. And I think from then on, it really hasn't been an issue to find a Wii.
you caused this sudden massive availability.
Well, either that, or I just showed up on the day when they had plenty in stock, and they've had plenty in stock since then. You know, it's my since dumb then, luck. Yeah. That's what got it. So, but I think it's comfortable to say that we're both pretty big Nintendo fans.
I mean, I'm not a huge gamer on the whole, but Nintendo, I tend to like
right
more than any other.
What I like about Nintendo, and I had this thought the other day, is that when you get your Nintendo and it comes with a game, and all the games made by Nintendo, it's kind of like getting a Mac with the iLife suite. It's like it shows up at your door, and you can immediately pick it up and use it.
Yeah, I get that analogy. That's a great analogy, actually.
It comes with the best possible game that it could ever come for. Like, you think about the Super Nintendo, Super Mario World. It even came with Mario Kart. There were versions of it with Mario Kart out there. You know, the N64 came out with Super Mario 64, which was arguably the greatest game ever for that platform. You know, and on, it just kept going like that. And all the games that Nintendo makes, like, you could never buy anything else but a Nintendo game, and you would have a perfectly playable system with very fun games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It's a great observation.
I mean, for my Wii, I don't own anything but Nintendo games. And mainly it's because there aren't a whole lot of great non-Nintendo games for the Wii. But, you know, I've got Mario Kart, I've got Smash Brothers, I've got Mario Galaxy. You know, I don't really need anything else. I mean, I don't play video games all that much nowadays, so that's perfectly fine with me.
Hmm.
The other thing I like about Nintendo is it seems like every system has this groundbreaking, never-before-seen controlling system. no, really. So you've got, like, the Super Nintendo, when it came out, you had the shoulder buttons, right? And that was the first time anybody had seen anything like that. And now it's pretty commonplace. With the 64, you had the little analog stick in the middle, and the weird grippy things on the side. And then the Rumble Pack, that was the first time anybody had a vibrating controller. And then the GameCube had something similar, where it had a weird controller. It was just different. And then the DS has the little screen that you control. And then the Wii, of course, has the motion control.
Two screens.
So it seems like every Nintendo that comes out has this this groundbreaking control system that rewires everybody's brain, and then everybody like copies it, which is exactly what's happening with the Wii, you know?
Yeah, it sort of makes you wonder what's next.
Right, right. What's...
I mean, I was really hoping that Nintendo were going to... Have you seen the Microsoft prototype where it's they have some cameras? It's basically a sensor bar, but it's got cameras in. So you just, instead of having a controller in your hand, you just move your arms around.
Right,
and,
right.
You know. I was kind of hoping that Nintendo would invent that first, but it seems...
Well, even PlayStation 2 had a version of that. They had a little camera that you could plug into the PlayStation 2, and it had games where, you know, you would poke at these bubbles, and the camera would register your finger, and then the bubbles would pop. But, it wasn't perfect. It didn't work exactly like it should have, and I think that's why it didn't catch on. But, you know, Nintendo's controller works perfectly. I mean, nobody had ever swung a bat with a controller before and had it be that realistic. It blows your mind. So I just think it's neat, like, and that's the other Apple reference I have, is that, you know, Apple invents something and then everybody else struggles to catch up and do it. Meanwhile, Apple's already on to the next thing, right? And I think Nintendo's a lot like that, where, we're going to have this thing called an analog controller that gives you a little bit more nuance in your controls. And then everybody else is trying to get their analog controllers all set, and then Nintendo's like, oh, well, we just invented a controller that you can move, and it moves the character on the screen.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to watch. Now, we recently had a little Mario Kart duel over the Wii Kinect system. And you have an argument over the greatest Nintendo game of all time, but my argument for it is Mario Kart. But what's yours? What's your favorite game?
Super Mario World, of course. How could you think of anything else?
Right. And now this must have been the first Nintendo game you would have got, right? Because you got the Super Nintendo and...
Yeah.
And it came with it, so... But why Super Mario World? What's so great about it? Is it because it's your first?
I think mainly because it was my first. I just have fond memories of that particular game.
Now, Super Mario World is where they introduce Yoshi, and of course Yoshi becomes this huge character.
Yeah. And unlike the new Super Mario Brothers, which they do call the new Super Mario Brothers, you could actually keep Yoshi between levels.
Right.
So yeah, you're moving around. You get Yoshi, and when you get to the end of the level, you leave him behind.
That's
the old one. You actually get to keep him, as long as you can get him without him falling off.
And they had the colored Yoshis, where if you swallowed shells, you could fly, or you could shoot fireballs. That was pretty neat. Super Mario World was like an extension of my favorite Super Mario, which is Super Mario 3. And in 3, they introduced the map system, you know, where you're going around the world and you're completing levels, and you don't have to go in order.
Yeah.
And the suits,
that was good.
You can have suits on, you know, like the raccoon suit and things like that. But did you ever play the sequel to Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island?
I don't think so.
Oh man, that.
Maybe I did, and I'm not. I have a lot of the games I used to have. I know for a fact that I have played Super Mario Kart.
Right.
But I don't have that anymore.
Well, Super Mario World 2 was Yoshi's Island, and it introduced Baby Mario and Baby Luigi. And it was supposed to be a sequel of Super Mario World, but it was actually a prequel of, like, the whole Mario universe when Mario was a baby. and it was a lot of fun. And they introduced like this, like all the backgrounds and the characters and stuff. They're almost like a child drew them with crayons or something. And it had, you know, the FX chip, which was Nintendo's, like, if they put the FX chip in a game, you knew it was going to be cool, like Star Fox or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But my favorite Nintendo game came out for Super Nintendo as well, and that's Super Mario Kart.
And now, why is that your favorite game?
You know, there's a couple of things. One is I like racing games in general, so it has that. But it also has the randomness that makes it a lot of fun to play with other people, so that you can't just be just the best racer. You know, you can't just rely on your driving ability, because you're going to get a red shell up your butt and you're going to lose if you think that way. And I think it's like people have their characters that they love to use. Like, you have Yoshi fans, you have, you know, Mario and Luigi fans, people who use Bowser, which I don't understand, because he's very fast, but he's hard to control. But it's like people have their favorite racers, and they always pick that person, and there's fights if two people like the same person. And it's like you sit down in a room full of people and you turn Mario Kart on, people are watching the game because it's so much fun to watch and play. And so it's got all this stuff mixed in together, and I just think it makes for, I just think it's probably the perfect video game.
Yeah.
And the Wii one,
the Wii,
go ahead,
use the pseudo 3D mode 7 graphics as well.
Yeah. And the first time we see that is in like F-Zero, I think.
That was my dad's favorite game.
That was a fun game. That was really cool.
Yeah. Now I do still have that one. Hmm. And when I finally got the Super Nintendo hooked up, I think it was last week, and I put that in, and he just went crazy over that one.
That was a pretty frustrating game too, because people would knock you into the wall and it would shock you, or if you landed outside the track, you
shame
blew
it.
Up.
Shame it didn't have any multiplayer.
Yeah, that is the real downfall of that game, which I think they fixed in the later versions. Like, it came out for 64.
Yeah,
and
probably.
Stuff. So. But yeah, we played some Mario Kart a couple weeks back, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Yeah.
My only issue is that when, you know, we played on the Wii Network or whatever, and so when we're racing, you and I, there can't be other people. And that's what I didn't like. I wish either, like, the other 10 racers would have been computer-controlled, or we could have, jumped in on some other people's
games. If you could join somebody over the internet and then play against... Join a friend over the internet and then play against the whole world with that person.
Right. Because you and I is fine, it's fun, but I think you'll lose a lot of Mario Kart when you don't have, like, 8 different people... shooting at each other and slamming each other over the edges and things like that. You know, it's a different game when there's just 2 people.
It is, yeah.
So I'm sorry for that.
It is different playing against real people on the internet too, because the computer characters, say if they've got like like one of those mushrooms that makes you really big when you're driving. Say if they've got one of those, they will, and they're behind you, they will flatten you.
Oh yeah.
Whereas on the computer, you can just, with the computer controlled characters, you can just get out the way and they'll drive right past you.
Right. Yeah, they're not gunning for you like I would be.
No.
Which is a shame. And that's the other part of Mario Kart I like, is if you have even a little bit of a mean streak, you will succeed in Mario Kart. Like, it was made for you. And I think, like, I don't know if you've ever played Twisted Metal for PlayStation, but that's another one of my favorite games of all time. Twisted Metal 2 in particular. But the idea of giving cars weapons and telling them to smash each other, I get behind that kind of concept. Like, I went to a demolition derby here recently, and I'm really thinking of buying myself a car and going to the fairgrounds and smashing up a bunch of other cars. If I could attach missiles to it, it would be even better.
Yeah. So, going back to F-Zero, Dad, when he used to play that, he after a while, he just stopped playing it, because every time after he played it, he would just be going driving like mad until he just told himself, you know, slow down. You get into that mode of just driving really, really fast, going crazy.
Right. Yeah, a game like that, if you were in first place on F-Zero, you were pretty much untouchable. I mean, there was nothing really anybody could do unless you crashed into a wall or something that, you know, yeah. Nobody could do anything. If you were in first place.
Unlike the modern games where you've got the blue shells and the red shells.
There's no guarantee. In fact, you're better off in second place because...
Yeah.
You're going to get slapped.
But even that, you know the best strategy for when a blue shell's coming.
Hit the brakes
and reverse.
Right.
So the guy behind you gets...
Now the old blue shell, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it hit everybody on the way up to first place. So not just first place got the blue spiky shell, but everybody along the way got it.
Maybe, I don't know.
I think that's how it was in Double Dash, at least. Which, have you ever played Double Dash? Mario Kart Double Dash for GameCube?
No, I don't think so.
Ugh. See, they almost ruined the series with that, because they added a co-pilot to your driver, and so you actually raced as two people. And they gave you like a million different kart options, and I was so confused. It was almost unplayable for me. So I was glad to see when the Wii came out that they returned it back to just one driver, you know, a select few carts, and go to it.
Yeah. And it's really hard to unlock everything with the Wii as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta work hard.
Because, you know, some of the things are like, I won a few games on the Nintendo WFC connection. And I find that unlocks things, so, you know.
Yeah, if you get
who knows what parts
or...
of yeah, who knows what parts of the game I haven't explored yet that might unlock things.
Well, here's a tip for you and our listeners in case they haven't known, but I think the best kart on Mario Kart Wii is Rosaline, or Rosalina, whatever her name is. But it's the princess on Super Mario Galaxy. And the only way you can unlock her is to own Super Mario Galaxy. So you play Super
what?
Mario Galaxy. Yeah, get this. You play Super Mario Galaxy and you have a saved game on your Wii. Then you pop in Mario Kart and then she's unlocked. The only way you can unlock her is to play Super Mario Galaxy. So even if you rent it or something, you can still unlock her. But I've used her, and I really think she's the best driver. She's one of my favorites.
Wow.
So, if you know, you could rent Super Mario Galaxy or borrow it from a friend, and you'd have her.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But there's some other ones, like the Bone Bowser. I have no idea how to get him.
Have you unlocked the mirror mode?
No, I don't think so.
No, where the tracks get mirrored.
Mm-mm.
Now I've not unlocked that on my license, but my sister has unlocked that, and I've played it. It's practically like having to learn the whole track again.
Right. So you race it backwards? Is that the idea?
No, effectively every time you're going to turn left on the normal one, you turn right and vice versa. So it just flips the whole thing round.
Wow. That would be tough.
And it even flips things like when the little man in the cloud comes down with the second lap and the final lap sign.
Mm-hmm.
It even flips the writing round on those.
His name is Lakitu.
Is it?
Yes, he's
Lakitu.
The little... Yep.
What's that?
It was I think it's Japanese or something.
Lakitu.
But that guy, yeah, Lakitu. Lakitu, I think it is.
Okay.
But that guy was a horse's ass in the first Mario, because he would throw the little spiky guys down at you.
He was the guy in the cloud who would throw the hedgehogs down at you.
Yep. Oh, man. You just learned to hate that guy.
But the level with him on, which was, if I remember, it was World 4 Level 1.
Yep.
There weren't actually many obstacles, so you could actually just dash the whole thing, avoid right. most of the hedgehogs.
Yep. If you didn't mind missing all the coins and the power-ups and things, yeah. you could just run through that level.
Yeah.
The other thing I haven't unlocked on Mario Kart is where you can race as your Mii. You know, so Mii driving the kart. I haven't unlocked that yet.
Hmm.
And I don't even know how. I'm sure I could just look for it or something.
I forget how I unlocked it, actually.
Well, I'll look it up. Do you download some of the classic games to your Wii, like on the network?
Yeah, I don't have a classic controller, but I've downloaded the original Super Mario and Super Mario 3,
right?
Which are the ones you can use without the classic controller.
Yeah.
If I want the SNES games, I can just use the Super Nintendo.
Right. What I wish Nintendo would do was, they did a brilliant thing with the Super Nintendo, is that they released Mario All-Stars, which had the first three games,
yes.
but they updated all the
now
graphics.
Now that's where I know most of the original Nintendo Mario games from.
Right, and there's a whole generation of people that's the only way they've ever played Mario 3. And I wish they would release that for the Wii, for Wii download, because then you wouldn't have to go and buy all the original ones. Right.
Super Mario.
But I'm sure Nintendo does it just so they can make more money off each individual game.
I'm sure they have released All Stars on the Virtual Console.
I remember looking for it. I don't think I saw it.
Maybe
if only there was a resource we could use to look up these questions.
Yeah. Wish there was this thing where you could just search the web.
Right.
So, okay.
Nope. A lot of people are asking for it, but it's not officially,
No, that's odd.
It's not officially for the Wii download.
I guess they might be hesitant to do that one, because if people have already got the original Mario and Mario 2, Mario 3, and also they did release the Lost Levels...
Right.
On Virtual Console. Then they might be disappointed that they didn't get any new games at all out of it. You know. But those people are just idiots, because they should look at what they're getting before they
And the whole notion of downloading all these games is brilliant, because you have grown-ups who buy the Wii, who remember the original Nintendo, and now they can go back and buy... Like, I just bought Punch-Out, the original Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. you know, I purchased a couple of the other
one thing I wish
games.
One thing I wish they would do is... Say you could... They could do this with, like, authorized Nintendo retailers. If you've still got the old cartridges, you could take the cartridges in, show them, hey, I've got this cartridge. They might give you some kind of code or something. So you could just get them on the Wii... without having to pay for them if you already own them.
Right. But then Nintendo wouldn't make any money. So.
Yeah.
They are a business. Let's not forget that. And I've said that before. You know, this whole notion of just being able to download games is genius, because it's pure profit. You know, you post up a version of Mario Brothers up on the cloud somewhere, and people download it from one spot, and that's all just pure profit for Nintendo. They didn't even have to do anything to collect all that.
Well, they had to program the emulator.
Okay, so they took a week's worth of work and maybe a little bit of bandwidth cost. But it's not
a week.
It's not an entire distribution, a worldwide distribution cost involved. You know,
I think an emulator takes anything. A bit more than a week to write, Dave.
Well, I'm being facetious, but. You know, comparatively, they're saving on shipping and packaging and all those costs.
No.
You know, someday that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be like Steam or something, you know, that's how you're going to get your games. You're just going to download them.
Mm.
One of these days. But yeah, if I could find, and I'm kind of... maybe you feel the same way because you still have your Super Nintendo, but I feel like...
Do you still have yours?
Oh yeah, I've still got it. With all my games.
Do you use it?
Yes, yep, and that, right now that's the only way I play the original Mario Kart.
All right.
With the original controllers and all that. But that's the point. Like, I've got all these cartridges and the old system up in my room. If I could, if there was a way for me to get all the games that are on my Super Nintendo right now on the Wii, then I would do it. I would rebuy all those and download them, and that way I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, hooking up my Super Nintendo and cleaning out the cartridges and...
Right, so how long are we in now? 3/4 of an hour in. I guess we should. No, there's still a bit more about Nintendo to talk, so.
We could go on and on. We could go on all day.
Yeah.
I love this stuff.
But anyway,
if I could get rid of all the American
Super Nintendo and the one that you're in a Super Nintendo and my Super Nintendo are actually, you know, if you look at mine, you would say, you know, that's not a Super Nintendo. They actually look quite different.
Is yours the smaller version? The thinner?
No, back in the day this was the case, on analog television, there was the PAL standard we use for televisions over here, and over across the pond there you use NTSC. So the NTSC... The NTSC Super Nintendo was very blocky, chunky. The cartridges were square,
mm-hmm.
but over here, that it's more, you know, curvaceous. It's, you know, it's a rounded cartridges, things like that. I mean, look at that on Wikipedia. You'll see what mine looks like.
Oh, look at that! Yours is way cooler. Even the cartridges are like, they're like a half moon shape or something.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I always thought the Japanese version of the, you know, the Super Famicom, that was cool because it was more colorful and it wasn't so, you know, bland like the American version was.
Yeah.
Hey, when are we gonna play Mario Kart again?
I don't know. I mean, whenever. Just send me a ping and we'll sort it out.
What about Smash Brothers? Do you ever play Smash Brothers?
No, I don't have that.
Oh, man. That's... Nintendo did a genius move with the Smash Brothers series, and I still think the best is the original Smash Brothers for N64. Have you ever played any of the Smash Brothers?
No, don't think so.
Oh, David. The idea is that you take the Nintendo characters, Mario and Bowser and all those guys, and you put them in a stage and you have them beat the crap out of each other. That's the game.
Okay.
But my buddy, Donkey Kong, when you play Donkey Kong, he has this special ability where he picks you up, and then you can carry the Donkey Kong can carry the character around. He can throw him. He can hit him, but he's got him in his hands. And my buddy that I played with in college, there would be like 8 of us in a room playing Smash Brothers, and he would grab you with Donkey Kong and walk off the edge. Just to make you so mad that you would start bleeding from your ears. He would totally kamikaze it. I was Kirby all the time. So he would grab Kirby in his hands with Donkey Kong and just step right off the edge of the platform, killing us both. He would lose a guy and I would lose a guy, but it had such a psychological effect on people that it's no wonder that he did it, because he was just there to make you angry. He would take the baseball bat and he would just hit people just to
I'm
see
making
them
a note
hurt.
Of this now, Dave. Play Donkey
and
Kong
I, you
on
know, I don't
Smash Brothers.
I don't even know if it's possible to do that anymore. I mean, I hope they took that that awful, awful ability away from Donkey Kong. But if you don't care about winning the thing and you just want to make people angry, you play Donkey Kong and you grab somebody and you walk off the edge, killing you both.
That's fabulous.
It was... and then it would be like one of those slow motion things where he would pick you up and you would scream no and you would die. And so would he. But Smash Brothers, it's kind of like the Mario Kart without racing, because you're smashing each other with baseball bats and with shells and with laser guns, and it had all the Nintendo characters, like even some of the ones that you'd never even think of, like Icarus and some of the guys from some of the RPGs, and like Sonic is in it now, and all of these even non-Nintendo guys.
Yeah, what is that? Why? Great what? Games. What suddenly happened between Nintendo and Sega that they're suddenly cooperating?
Right. Well, you know, Sega's just in the software business now. They don't actually make any hardware anymore. So they're gonna they're smart. They're gonna sell it wherever they're gonna make money. So they don't care. There's actually a Mario Kart that was in the arcades that had Pac-Man in it. You could drive as Pac-Man. So I like that. That they're not afraid for their characters to include some other characters and things like that. I really wish you could be Mega Man or something in Smash Brothers. I think that would be great. Because Mega Man, you know, I love Mario. But Mega Man is my boy. I love Mega Man.
Right.
Did you know Mario is the most popular mascot on Earth? Even more than Mickey Mouse. He's the most popular.
Oh, I didn't know it, but it didn't surprise me.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy. I thought it would have been Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny or something like that. But it's Mario. He is the most popular mascot.
Yeah.
And I think as we go along, that'll become even more so because, you know, guys a little bit older than me, down to kids right now, everybody knows Mario.
Yeah.
So, man, I feel like I could talk all day about Nintendo, David, but
yeah,
we probably should.
One last thing before we go. Have you seen the Stephen Frank's Retro Room project?
Yes, yeah, and actually I made a comment about it on Newton Poetry the other day, because he made some really good points.
Yeah. He's got some impressive stuff. He just got a 20th anniversary Mac as well.
Yeah. I have no desire to own one of those things. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have...
So, basically you want me to re-edit the new intro... theme to include the chime from a different Mac.
Right. No, the Mac, you know, the chime doesn't matter, but I would never have one of those ugly things on my desk.
Yeah. I think whoever had the job of photographing that for the marketing did a fantastic job, because it just you know, you look at photos that other people have taken, it looks so ugly. But in the marketing photo, somehow they made it look like just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. And it's very 90s. Like it's kind of blurry, and there's some purple in there and some weird lighting.
Yeah.
And it's kind of smoky and mysterious and yeah, whoever did that did a nice job.
He says on one of these things that he forgot how weird Mac OS 8 was.
I love Mac OS 8. It was great.
Yeah.
But, hey, you changed our sliders on our page, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I might have to get rid of that because it breaks scrolling on the iPhone and also Android, apparently.
Oh. Well, shucks.
So unless I can find a workaround for that, we'll have to use the standard ones.
Right. Well, if you listen to this in the next few days, you know, it's Thursday right now. Head over to helloshow.net and check out our slide bars before David changes them.
Well, like, you know, if I can find a way to make it work on the iPhone and Android, then...
Right. Then they'll stay?
Then they'll stay. But unless I can do that, they'll have to go. They do look good.
You know, we had Thomas on last time, which was a great episode. I listened to it. He's a neat guy. I really like talking to him.
Yeah.
But he posted his resume online, and that was pretty cool. That's a neat piece of HTMLery right there.
Yeah.
If you go to eggfreckles.net, I hope he has it linked from there. I don't remember the exact
URL. I think it's thomasbrand.net/resume. I've got the tweet here now.
Right. But it was so neat. It's very interactive, and you just go there and check it out. I won't even tell you what it is, but... But you actually get to see what he looks like.
Yeah.
All right, sir. I think I'm going to go play some Mario Kart.
Okay. Well, have fun. Talk to you next.
I will.
Talk to you soon. Hey, when are you going on this road trip?
Oh, right. September. I leave September 10th.
All right,
I'm flying out to Vegas and driving all over.
Not for a while yet.
Right, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So, should be fun.
Yeah. So.
But anyway, you've been listening to episode
13/14.
Which one is it, David?
13/14.
Episode 3.5.
Yeah,
of the Hello Show.
I'll sort this out.
With me, Dave Lawrence.
Man, be David Kendall.
You can find us at helloshow.net. Or where else, David?
On Flickr. I'll just find the URL. Keep talking. Podcast at helloshow.net is our email address. At hellopodcast on Twitter. Wait a minute, I've still got to get this Flickr URL. Seems that starting one of these audio chats causes everything else to be incredibly slow.
Right. And hey, if you want to race us in Mario Kart, we'd love to get something going, so...
Yeah. Send us your...
So either email us or...
Yeah, email your Mario Kart number to us. We'd love to race.
Right, and the Wii number, because you have to be friends with them too.
Oh yeah,
right. That's the issue we have.
You need your Wii number and your license number
for Mario Kart.
Yeah,
I'm a Koopa Troopa fan myself. That's my racer.
Yeah. Though you weren't playing. I don't think you were playing with Koopa Troopa when we were having the tournament, were you?
I played Luigi a little bit.
Yeah, was it? Maybe it was.
And I played Rosalina for a bit too.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, we can post our Flickr thing on the website, right, David? We don't have to wait for this.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Oh, wait a minute. We're on the brink here, people.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are. We're very close now. Here we are.
We're going to edit all this out in post-production because no one should have to sit through this.
Nobody ever heard it. Okay, so it's flick.kr or flickr.com. So flickr.com/group/helloshow. I could have guessed that. So flick.kr.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think we're done now.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.